You'll be turning to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, we'll be beginning there in just a minute. But I wanted to just say a good morning to everybody and glad that you're here. Hopefully we can learn a few things from God's Word and really apply some things to our lives. You ever woken up in the morning, taking a look in the mirror and just seeing this big old line across your face? It's all the way down. Maybe it runs down your neck. Somebody says, "What's that?" Oh, well, you know, it's pillowcase. Got a big impression on my face. Maybe you've gone to school, you know, and gotten up real early and just flown over there and you've got lines all over your arms and your face from the sheets. It's an impression. It's an impression of something that was pressed against our skin. A lot of times I'll wake up and I'll have my wedding band so clearly impressed on my arm that it doesn't go away for a couple of hours. It's amazing, though, the way our skin reacts to that. There's something about it that when a substance that's a little bit harder than it gets applied to it and pressed into it for an extended period of time, it makes a deep impression on us. We might not think about it, but that's something that we deal with every single day. Sometimes, you know, whether it's our work lives, whether it's our personal lives, whatever it is, this happens all the time. And we never get a second chance to make that first impression. As Christians, there's a lot of times that, whether it be the way that we impress ourselves on the world and the people around us, maybe it's the way that the world gets impressed onto us, the things that we let get absorbed into to us, or maybe it's the way that we affect each other as brethren. These are all ways that impressions can take place. Maybe you noticed when I first began that I said good morning. Hopefully you did, and hopefully that made an impression on you. What is this guy doing up there? He doesn't know what he's doing. No, I did that on purpose just to show you that even some of the smallest things people remember about us. Maybe it's, you know, you're doing something that maybe you shouldn't, and somebody sees that, that's going to make an impression on them, whether it be there's something really small and minor like that, but it's going to leave a lasting impression in their minds. Maybe you're the best person you could be around them, but one time you slip, and they remember. So I want to talk just a little bit this evening about the impressions that happen in our lives. And I just wanted to first say, how do impressions take place? And we mentioned that when there's something that's pressed into us, and I think if we're going to make impressions on the world, we first have to be molded into something, don't we? We have to be molded into a Christian. How does that happen? How does that happen? Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is what makes that impression in us, and it molds us to be more Christ-like. So not only does the Word impress into us Christ, but I think if you go to Colossians chapter 3, you'll see it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." Most of us know that passage fairly well. We probably have completed it ourselves. But as we think about those things every single day that we do, are they things that are of this earth, or are they things of heaven? Do we think about, and do we have impressed on our hearts every day, God's Word? Are we trying to be more like Christ? If we are, we have to recognize that the mold that we have, whether it be just barely a mold of Christ or whether we have been totally conformed, that that's being impressed on the world. We have to recognize that everything that we do is seen by other people. A lot of times as I was growing up, maybe I was in high school and my parents would tell me, you know, "Jonathan, you got to be real careful with things you do. There's little guys that are looking up to you." And I've always tried to remember that because you don't realize it, but people are. They're looking up to you. Whether we're young or old, there's always going to be somebody watching you. We've got to make sure that we make those right and the correct impressions on those people. The first thing that I think about when you look at the impressions that we make on the world is Matthew chapter 5. I'm sure we've all read the verses in there, beginning in chapter 3, verse 3 of chapter 5. If you'll turn there, we'll read together. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that's in heaven. Whether we like it or not, people are watching us. How is our impression being taken by other people? Are we like salt? Are we like the light of the world? Do we make an impression on people? Do we make them a little uncomfortable with that salt that we have? You know, we talk a lot about the things that salt does. If you put it in a wound, it's going to sting a little bit. If people see the things that we're doing that are right, is it going to make them uncomfortable because maybe they know I'm not doing the right thing, I should be doing what they're doing? Or is the light that we're giving out going to shine a pathway for somebody else to see, you know what, I need to be doing that. I need to be going that way. I don't need to be doing the things that I'm doing. If you look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, Philippians 2, verse 12 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among you, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that you may rejoice in the days of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. This impression that we have, this mold that we have of Christ on ourselves, there's a crooked and perverse generation that's around us every single day. Are we making an impression on them? Or do we just kind of blend in? Hopefully our light and our impression of the world will bring them to God. Hopefully it will help to change their mind. But what we have to recognize is that all the time, the world is pressing on us. There's a constant struggle and a constant battle between the world, between our minds and our flesh and our spirits. We have to recognize that we can't be like the rest of the world. If you look in Romans 12, another verse that most of us could probably recite from memory, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable the will of God. You know, if we can not be conformed to the world, isn't the opposite implied as well? That we can conform the world to ourselves. If we're being like Christ, can we not conform the world to be like us? It's possible. But will it happen? And we've talked about in our high school class about how hard it is to actually live in this world but not be a part of it. The world, as I said, is always pressing against us. But how do we keep it from making that impression on us? How do we guard ourselves from the world influencing us and doing the things to us that would make us be more like the world? I think a major part of that is our priorities. Making sure that we put God first in everything that we do. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 18 it says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. All of the things in this world are going to pass away eventually. They're all going to be gone. Whether it be the knowledge of this world or the physical things of this world, they're all going to be gone eventually. If we keep ourselves from being part of this world, we'll have an eternal home with God. That's part of the challenge of living in this life, is not to let all those things around us have that impression on us that we can become more like the world. Ultimately, the world is going to cheat us out of heaven if we become like it. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 8, it says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world." Again, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world. Those are the things that are going to cheat us out of an eternal home with God. Continuing there, it says, "And not according to Christ, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." Christ is all we need. He's the true mold that we should be conforming ourselves to. And if we do that, if we truly conform ourselves to God and to Christ and what he wants us to do, we'll have that eternal home with him and that reward that's been promised to us. There's a couple of things that we've talked about. Not only the impression that we make on the world, but the way that the world makes an impression on us. As we walk around this life and people see us, do they see that impression? Do they see what that pillowcase has done to our face? Can you see it when you look in the mirror every day? When you look at your brethren, do you see it? And that's the next thing I want to talk about real quick, is the impression that we make on our brethren and what they make on us. Does that really matter? Does it really matter the effect that we have on somebody who's already a Christian? I think it really does. I think it really does. We should always strive to be an example, no matter who we come in contact with, but especially to our brethren, to the people that matter the most in our lives. In 1 Thessalonians 1, it's a perfect example of what happens when we live the right life. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5 says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything." What if that was said of you? How would that make you feel? If nothing needed to be said but your example and the way you lived your life, can that be said of you? Can that be said of the way that you live your life? Do you live your life in a way that even your brethren can look at you and say, "I want to be like him"? What about our worship? How does that interact with how we make an impression on people? I think it's a big factor as well. If you look in Colossians, Paul speaks a little bit about this. In Colossians 3, 14. Colossians 3, 14. It says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It seems like as Christians, we need to be admonishing one another. We need to be encouraging one another. We need to be doing the things necessary to keep each other faithful. And one way is through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We do that every time that we meet. Are you participating in that? Are you singing not only to praise God, but are you singing to encourage the people that are around you? Are you doing it with enthusiasm? Or are you just kind of going along? And what impression are people seeing when they see you participating in that worship? What about if it's a prayer? What are people seeing when they hear you pray? What about if it's just the fact that you're being here? Actually being here, we have to do that to encourage one another, don't we? If we're not here, we can't. In Hebrews 10:24, it says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." It always makes you feel good when you leave, doesn't it? To be around Christians, to be encouraged by other Christians, to have somebody say something to you that really builds you up. Kind of helps you keep going until Wednesday. Kind of helps you keep going maybe from Wednesday till the next Sunday. It's hard for us to live in this world and not have other Christians to encourage us. But I think as we talk about our worship, and we look at the impression that we have on each other in our worship, I think it's a big part of what we do. Next time we meet, even tonight, look around at each other. Think about the way that you view somebody while we're here. What impression are you making on them? How do they see you, and what impression are you making on them? You know, once we make an impression on somebody, or once an impression is made on us, one thing I think is critical to remember, just as that line was impressed on our face from that pillowcase, is that it eventually goes away, doesn't it? That impression is slowly going to fade, isn't it? I think we have to remember that we must renew the impressions, the good impressions that we make, especially the word, that critical mold of Christ that's on us that we're trying to impress on others. We have to renew that all the time. If you look back in Romans chapter 12, it talks about not being conformed to the world, but being transformed. Transformed to what? Transformed into a Christ-like figure. To a spirit that is wanting to be obedient to Christ and to do the right things. But how do we do that? It's by the renewing of our mind, so that we may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. We've got to continually press that mold of Christ into ourselves, whether it be through studying, through prayer. It's all a part of it, and we have to continually make sure that that impression is made on our lives and in our hearts, that we can continue to make that same impression on other people. We've talked a lot about the impression that we make on other people, maybe the way that the world impresses itself on us and how we can avoid that. And even ourselves as brethren, the kind of impressions that we've made on each other, but we didn't necessarily talk about our salvation, did we? Every time we're here, we like to make sure we have an invitation for those who maybe have had that impression put on them. Hopefully the gospel, and I know it does, every time that it's spoken, makes an impression. Whether you accept that impression or not is up to you. It's a choice. It's a choice that we make, whether we accept what the gospel says or what we don't. We want to make sure that everyone knows that this time is available to you. if you've been thinking about becoming a Christian and you understand what requires you to become a Christian, we want to make sure that you know that this time is available for you. And also, maybe you've fallen away and you've let the world become too much an impression on you. And you recognize the fact that I haven't been doing what's right. And you know you need to come back and have a new impression made of Christ on you. We want to make sure that you know this time is available for you as well. If either is the case, please come now as we stand and sing.